So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, with one of my favorite people on the planet, Julia Stewart. And we're going to be talking today about how socialpreneurs make more money with social media. And, I'm actually going to have to repeat that. Sorry, I forgot to start my recording. So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio with Julia Stewart, and our topic for today is how socialpreneurs make more money with social media than with email. And that is such a juicy topic. I can't wait to dive in. But before we do, let's just take a moment, just a brief moment, just to connect. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale, and just notice how your breath is the bridge between your being in the world and the world of your energy and your intentions of promise and vision. And you're here because you are a conscious entrepreneur, a conscious business owner, and you are looking to be and do business in a different way, more awake, more aware, more aligned with your essence, who you are, and your message and your gifts that you bring to the world. And we're here to help you do that powerfully, effectively, and by leveraging all kinds of tools, talents, and technology. So I'm very excited to have my friend and my colleague, Julia Stewart, here today. And this topic, we're all very interested in social media, right? I mean, really, no matter where you turn, Julia, it's social media this, social media that, social media this.
It's huge, huge, huge.
it's huge. And it's getting even bigger and bigger. Some of the folks that have been speaking on the Telesummit, we already know that I think Facebook is, I think, Julia, you might have been the person that told us about this in the last Telesummit you were in, that it's like the second largest basic place where folks are hanging out aside from Google.
In the United States.
It's in the United
States.
It's the
second biggest site. It's got almost 500 million members now.
Wow. Yeah, it's like small. It's like a, not a small country anymore. It's like a country.
A huge country. It's like Brazil or something.
Yeah, and I think the last time it was a small country or something. I mean, it's only been a couple of months.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
it's not slowing down.
That alone, and Lou Bortone was on the other day talking about, I think, that YouTube is fourth, and YouTube is another one that folks don't even consider social media, but it is.
Yeah,
it's another social media. So there's so many of these opportunities out there for us to connect with other people. And I really just want to dive into this, the topic, and I don't know if we need to do a setup, but this whole idea that, because we've all been relying on email as a way to communicate with potential clients and to connect with existing clients and to build our relationships. So how is it that you can actually make more money with social media than with email?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I would say that there are, we can take the short-term look at the immediate opportunities, and we can also take the long-term view of the opportunities, because there is just a huge, huge opportunity for new business owners right now because of the growth of social media. But I think this conversation came up because I had noticed, you know, I'm big on tracking what's going on my website and really understanding what's working in my marketing and what isn't, so I can do what works and not waste time on what doesn't. And so one of the things that I noticed recently, and it was a real hello kind of moment, was that I was getting more clients through social media than I was through my email marketing. And that just blew my mind. I thought, wait a minute, how did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a backtracking view for me, like, how did I get where I am now, and what can I share with your listeners? And also, what can I help them with? And so I think I'd like very briefly to just start out with the long view, because I think that will help people to understand how big an opportunity it is. And then we can look at some immediate things that they can be doing, so they can be making more money with social media than they might be making with email.
Great. And I just want to remind folks that if you have questions around what Julia is talking about, please submit them as soon as you get them so that we can try to answer your questions before the call is done. So that's in the little webcast box. So, yeah, great.
Yeah. Okay. So shall I dive into this sort of long view?
Let's dive into the long view.
Yeah, so I don't think this is where we want to talk about most of today because it's just a huge topic, but I think it will give people some perspective. And so the long view opportunity is really about the old search engine optimization thing, which I think most people have heard of. They may already know some things about how they can increase the likelihood that people will actually find your website, because just having a website doesn't mean that anyone is ever really going to visit it. But things have really changed recently, and it seems to be a growing trend. And so up until very recently, Google was like the search engine, and it's still incredibly powerful, and it's reached the point where even diehard marketers like me are kind of a little bit nervous about how much power Google has because it has so much information about all of us. And that information helps Google to pinpoint search for us. But recently, search has started to change because sites like Facebook and Twitter and many others, there are sites like Orkut, which is very popular in other countries but not necessarily in the U.S., where people are spending so much time there and there is so much information that's being aggregated there that it actually becomes a much juicier place to search for information. And so for that reason, Google and Bing and a number of the other search engines are now displaying information that's coming from the social media sites, not just from websites themselves. And you may have heard of this before, but it took me a while to realize why that makes a difference. So if you know anything about search engine optimization, you know that the two ways that you rank high on Google are you have content that has keywords that people will search for, and you have inbound links coming from other sites, hopefully with some authority. So those are kind of like votes for your site to say this site is good. So Google's big gift to search was not to just search for keywords, which anybody can stuff their site full of keywords, so you might wind up going to really crummy sites if you just search for keywords. But Google also added this sort of voting system of having inbound links coming from other sites. And so it was the websites who had the most votes that came to the top of the search engine results. And if you search on something like Life Coach, for instance, there are literally, I think the last time I searched, there were over 3 million pages that came up. And they're displayed 10 per Google page. And nobody is going to dig through 3 million pages. Most of us will look on the first page, maybe the second, and some of us who are highly motivated might go to the third, and that's about it. So it's really important to show up on the first or second page. And if you are a site that's been around for 10 or 20 years and you've built up a lot of authority, you have all these links that have been coming into you from other websites for years and years. So a brand new business that's just starting a website in a particular field, let's say Life Coach, for instance, is going to have a terrible time coming up in search engine results. And that's one of the major ways of having people discover your site. So the old sites had a huge advantage that didn't seem to be going away, and it didn't matter so much maybe 10 years ago because the Internet was still pretty new itself. But the further we go into the present and then the future, the more that becomes a real problem for search engines because the old sites aren't necessarily better. In fact, they may be outdated. And so now that there's searching for information that's showing up on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube, that means that the information is trending. It's what's going on right now. And that means if you're a brand new site and you're participating on social media and you're linking back to your site and you're bringing social media onto your own website, and there are all kinds of ways to do that, that you have a much better chance of competing with those old venerable sites that have accrued authority for the past 10 or 15 years. So there's a huge opportunity now to participate in social media and start bringing people into your brand new site much more quickly than could have been done even a couple of years ago. So that's the long view. That's why even if social media is not your favorite thing yet, I would recommend find something to like. Find the site you like. Find the way you like to participate in it. But I would highly recommend that you get involved with it in some way, because you definitely can make more money right now, and you can make more money later, much more.
Yeah, this is really great news, because this trending feature in the social media sites is actually leveling the playing field.
It totally is. The web is becoming democratic again.
Wow. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
Yeah. So can we dive into then the short term?
Yeah, we can. And just before I go into that, I forgot this little story that I wanted to tell about this, but this is a very recent story. I had a woman call me up, and she was calling about my certification boot camp, and it happens that she's somebody that I know, but I had no idea that she was interested in coaching, and she had no idea that I offered a certification. And so she really wanted coach certification, and she got up early one morning after thinking about it all night, and she went online and Googled coach certification, and my site came up first. And she called me up after searching my site and seeing my picture and my name and realizing that she knew me, and she asked me all about this program. And she said, you know, I found you on Google, and you came up first. And I thought, how did that happen? Because coach certification is a really competitive keyword that I've been trying to rank for a few years now, and I knew I wasn't ranking at number one. And I thought, how did she find it? And by checking out some of the things that are different on Google now, I realized how it happened. Google is actually aggregating information about our behavior on the web, which might be a little creepy to some people, but from a marketing standpoint, it's actually a very cool thing. And so they have information, and not only are they looking for your participation in social media or the links coming into your site or the keywords on your site, but they're also looking for information that matches with the person who's doing the looking. And so in this case, this woman I know through the church I belong to in town, and she performs in a number of New Thought churches around this area, and so her name is often on those websites, because all those churches have websites. And I've mentioned my church on my website and in my blog. And so because we have an actual in-life connection, and Google was able to trace that, they put me up first, knowing that I would be a person she would really connect with. I mean, they didn't think about this. Their algorithm figured it out for us. But that's how it can work, that it can actually bring people to you who say, oh, my God, I didn't know you did this, or, oh, my God, we have all this in common, and I would love to work with you. And so that the information level is kind of mind-boggling and perhaps a little scary, but it's also a very, very cool thing for businesses. So I just wanted to throw that out there as a way that that works now. And so if you're involved in things that you really care about, don't hesitate to put those things on your website or in your blog, because that's how people who care about the same things you do are going to find you.
That's awesome. Creepy, but it falls into the creepy and cool category.
Yes. It's creepily awesome.
Well, you know what? Listen, at this point in our lives, most of us have used credit cards. Most of us have put out information out there. So we're already out there. So we might as well use it in a way that's going to serve us and serve our customers and clients. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Not going away.
Yeah.
We might as well use it.
Yeah. We're already in the data bank. So, you know, just, you know, we all have to deal with it at this point. But
Yeah.
But, I mean, and again, I think the other thing is that you can get hung up on that kind of thing, or you can leverage it.
Yeah.
You know, you can leverage it and use it for you. That's a very cool story, Julie. I didn't even know that that was happening. So, wonderful.
Yeah. And, we can work with what is. That's what we've all done since the beginning of time. We work with what is. And this definitely is what is. And as business people, we need to relate to the web differently than individuals do. So I'm all for people protecting their information however they want to do it. And I just read a cool article about a group of nerds in New York City who are creating a social media platform that doesn't require you to share so much of your information. So who knows, that may become a trend, and we'll handle that however it does. But if you're a business person and you're worried about your information being on the web, the only thing I can say is hope that your information is on the web, because that's how clients are going to come to you. And the old way was to go out and beat the bushes and hope you would find some clients, and never to really know what was working and what wasn't. And now we can know what's working and what isn't, and clients can come to us much more effortlessly than they ever could before.
Yeah, yeah. It sure beats, you know, going to networking meetings, even though that can be a good way to do it, too. Yeah.
It can be fun, but
that's kind of, not that it's old school, but that's not the only way to do it anymore. There's just much more efficient ways to get your message out there now. And I'm going to just suppose that the folks who are on this call are, you know, have mission-based, meaning-based work. And a lot of us are in service, and we're looking to contribute and do our share of changing the world into what we're hoping it will be. And there's no better way to reach lots and lots of people. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
Wonderful.
So you want to look at short-term shifts to make?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one of the things about what makes social media so effective, and I'm doing many things with social media, and I have been for a number of years. In fact, I started getting paying clients, really good ones that stayed with me for years and paid lots of money, and I love them dearly, from social media about 4 years ago. So that's when I first actually could say, yes, dollars and cents, I'm making more money because I'm active on social media. And it's taken me a while to be able to actually talk about, so how do I do that? Because email marketing works too, and that's one message I want to put out there. Don't throw away your email marketing. It's not time to do that. Maybe someday, but definitely not in 2010. In fact, they work really, really well together. But here's the big advantage to social media over email marketing. And I'm going to real quick change my phone because my battery is beeping.
Okay.
So I'm still here.
All right.
I would say the biggest, most wonderful thing about social media is anybody who's done email marketing knows that email marketing etiquette says don't email your list more than once a day. So you don't want to be bombarding people all day long. People hate that. They will unsubscribe or, worse yet, report you as spam. So you want to avoid bombarding them no matter how excited you are to share your information with them. Well, with social media, you can interact with people all day long. I'm not suggesting that you should do that. That might not be an efficient use of social media, but you can be interacting with people a few minutes a day, so 15 to 30 minutes a day, I would say, on social media. You can be interacting with people multiple times, and that helps them to develop a relationship with you more quickly, and see how you show up, see the consistency of the way you show up much more rapidly, and develop some trust for you and perhaps some admiration and curiosity about what it is you have to offer. So that's the immediate advantage of social media. People don't mind seeing your message on Twitter a few times a day or on Facebook a few times a day, whereas they might mind it if it was showing up in your inbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty big. Because we're all sensitive to the info flow, and yet there's something about social media that it is kind of like this spot check-in. You know, it's almost like going and checking out what your buddies and what your friends are up to, like what's cooking in the local place. And so it's something where you're going out to see, as opposed to your feel when email is a different experience. Things are coming into your box. So there's something even about that shift that makes it feel more at choice for people,
yeah.
I think.
People are literally more open to hearing from you. And I think part of the reason for that, I mean, it's social media, so they know that why they're there. But a big part of the reason is because it's two-way. It's not a broadcast, at least if you're using social media well. And we can touch on how some things not to do on social media. But if you are literally interacting with people, and not just sharing your business message, because heaven knows that's not all that I do on social media, not even close. But if you're sharing, if you say something funny now and then, if you share just a concept for people to think about, or a great quote now and then, and then you share, oh, by the way, Adela Rubio is interviewing me today, and you can still join for free, then people are really looking for your message, and they are actually reading it instead of ignoring it. So becoming a social spammer will get you ignored on social media, so that's definitely a no-no. But if you're interacting with people, listening to what they have to say, and showing up in service, really wanting to help them, they will become your enthusiastic fans, and that's a strong step towards becoming one of your clients. And there's another thing. I hope I didn't just forget this. It popped into my head as I was talking. Let's see. I just want to back up a little bit and say that sometimes when people are new to marketing and perhaps they're new to their new business, so I've noticed this a lot with coaches because I've mentored a lot of coaches, but consciouspreneurs in general often are guilty of this. They will use social media as more of a broadcast tool than anything else, and that will get you unfollowed in a hurry. And unfortunately, it's often the newbies, it's the people who don't feel good about it in the first place who erroneously think that they have to do it that way. And so they start using Twitter as a broadcast medium, for instance, and nobody's interested in that. They're not interested in what you had for lunch, and they're also not interested in your broadcast message. You actually do have to interact with people once you get on social media.
Can I ask a question here? I don't know if you're done going through your short-term shifts yet, but just this question is popping up for me. When you get clients through social media, are they approaching you, or is it as a consequence of creating a relationship, and both of these are a consequence of creating the relationship, but do you notice that they initiate the contact with you to work with you, or are they showing up through perhaps like signing up for a program that you have or a free call or something like that, just kind of figuring out the pathway for people?
Yeah, it's all of the above. And so, yes, sometimes people will seek me out or seek somebody out on social media for sure. And they also are paying attention to what their friends are saying about you. So if
if you work with me and you happen to write something on Facebook that, you know, you worked with Julia Stewart and boy, was it great, then a friend of yours might see that and go, oh, you know what, I was looking for that kind of a coach. Maybe I'll try working with her. So that's the pathway. And more people today want recommendations from their friends. They're looking for that on the web. So any way that you can increase the visibility of people's testimonials for you is huge for your business. But, yeah, you can invite people also, and that's something that many people are forgetting to do. And, yeah, I can give you a couple of examples right away of people inviting others to work with them. So I have a client right now who just got her first paying coaching client. And she's pretty new to coaching. She's got some pro bono clients, and she's been practicing a lot, and she's a really good coach. But for her, this is a big milestone because she's got a client who's actually paying her. And, of course, she wants to build a vibrant business, so she wants to continue doing this. Well, she found this client, or this client actually found her, through a social networking site. So she's not quite sure yet. She's going to find out from the client exactly what drew the client in, but it's probably either LinkedIn or Biznik, which is spelled B-I-Z-N-I-K, biznik.com, and that's another business networking site. And she mentioned a couple of cool things about Biznik that I think I'll mention here because it could be useful. She had just joined. I mean, she literally just joined, and she already has a paid client through it. And on Biznik, one of the things that you can do when you first put your profile up is you can actually ask, what do you need help with? So there are other business people there who may be able to help you with things on your business. So you can put up what you need help with. So she put up that she's a member of my Coach 100 group, and she's coaching 100 people, and she needs help doing complimentary sessions. She needs 100 people to do complimentary sessions with her. And another thing that she did that you can do with Biznik is write articles. And some articles get front page, and that's really great. But even if your article doesn't make the front page, it can be useful because it tells people more about you and what you know and how you can help. So she had an article up, and she had her offers out on both Biznik and LinkedIn. And this person actually emailed her and said, I'm looking for a coach, and I'd like to do a complimentary session with you. So 24 hours later, she had her first paid client, and she had just joined these groups.
Wow.
And that's not at all unusual. I've had other clients do the same thing. Sometimes it's with a social networking group that they've been involved with for a long time. It's even more powerful when they do that. I had one client who joined a program of mine, and honestly, I didn't even know she had joined yet. So I hadn't gotten the PayPal notice yet, and she sent me an email and said, you've changed my life. And I thought, who is this? And it turned out she had already used some of the information from the program on a social networking site. She was using Zing, which was at the time very popular in Europe. And she put out to a strong network that she'd already developed that she was doing complimentary sessions. She filled up her coaching business in a few weeks, and she had been coaching for years and had never filled her business. So just putting that invitation out there can be huge.
Yeah, you know, we've already got a question, so I wonder if you could just dive into this, because this is one of the common things. This is from Ruth Ellen from Jacksonville. Must we use all forms of social media? I absolutely hate Twitter, but I love Facebook, which I use. And then she's got another question, but I want you to answer that one first.
You know what? I would say if you absolutely hate a site, don't use it. Because you're not going to show up at your personal best if you detest it. And you want to be having fun. You want to be expressing your brilliance. So if Twitter's not for you but Facebook is, absolutely you can use that. And you don't have to use all of them. If you have fun using a lot of them, which I do, by all means, go ahead, as long as you've got a plan and you're not getting lost in them. But if you only want to use Facebook and nothing else, I think you probably could do that very well.
Yeah. She had another question, too. How valuable is an RSS feed?
That's a great question. I would say it's valuable. It's certainly not the only thing that you want to have, but if you have a blog, and I highly recommend that you have a blog on your regular website or even have a blog instead of a regular website, if you have a blog, by all means, have an RSS feed. But here's something to know about RSS. Most people don't really know how to use it, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of help out there. You know, if you click on that little RSS button, what you get is a page full of code. And for years, I just got overwhelmed and gave up on it until somebody taught me how to get started with RSS. So the thing to know about RSS is that there are a lot of people still who aren't using it. So having an email sign up is even better. And one of the things about RSS that I personally don't like is that you don't know who's on your list. So it's hard to follow up with them any other way except by updating that particular page. But if you have an email list and you want to follow up with them with an invitation, you know, a freebie just for this group or a coupon just for this group, then an email list is much more powerful, and many people are more comfortable with email. And if they've asked to hear from you, they're much happier about seeing your messages in their inbox than if you're just bombarding them.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So were there more short-term elements that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I would say, and this is, you know, the age-old advice of be yourself, and I know that there are a lot of social media mavens out there saying, you know, use this tool to automate, send out your message via automated tweets, et cetera. And that can work for some people, but if you're just getting started, it's probably not going to work that well for you. So unless you're like Guy Kawasaki, who everybody knows who he is, and he's got like 100,000 followers or probably more, then, yeah, people expect those tweets to be automated. Or if you're a porno spammer who's promoting penile implants and getting the greatest number of messages out to the most people is your plan, then, okay, yeah, automate stuff and be obnoxious. But if you want to be engaging people and relating with them and getting them to trust you, don't treat them like prospects. Treat them like people and act like a person. So I think that's really, really important as far as how you show up. And then here's another thing to do. And as I said, if you're a business person and you really want to get found on the Internet, you do need to share some information with people. So if you set up your profile on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, complete the profile. It's really easy to just get started and then not get around to it, particularly LinkedIn has a pretty in-depth one. But people are much, much less likely to follow you and interact with you if they don't know who you are. And, in fact, if you don't have your picture up, they very likely are going to think you're a spammer. So you need to get your picture up quickly, and you need to get a little bio up, and definitely put links to your website or your blog or even your other social networking profiles so that they can find you. So having all those links are still important. Having all those links around the web are all the different ways that people find you and all the different ways that Google and other search engines help people to find you. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to chime in that if there's no picture when someone tries to friend me, I don't follow them. I don't say yes. And the other thing, I do check out links because I want to know who it is. I want to see who I'm connecting to. I don't just say yes to everybody just to bump up my numbers. I want to be connected to people that are, you know, resonant, that we have things in common, not that they have to be all coaches or, you know, conscious entrepreneurs or anything, but that we have areas of it's just like, you know, making friends.
Exactly.
So
people you like.
Exactly. So you, I go and check out blogs, and I'll even go and comment on a blog, you know.
Yes. Commenting on blogs is an awesome way to participate in social media, and it gives you an opportunity, again, to put a link up. And something to know is that a lot of these links on social media sites and blogs are not so-called follow links, and so they don't necessarily increase your search engine rankings, which is used to be the really important thing. But if you have links coming to you from social networking sites that your potential clients really like, and they find those in search engine results, they're more likely to like you. So the woman that I mentioned who said I changed her life before I even knew who she was, she had seen me on a couple of social networking sites, about three, and that convinced her that I was somebody that she would like, and that caused her to join my program online without even talking to me.
Social media works.
It absolutely works.
Well, I think what it also does, it increases your presence, because if you take the time and the energy to, you know, to put some thought into your profiles and put yourself out there and interact and engage, people actually can feel connected to you just by going to these sites and reading your wall or reading, you know, your stream and Twitter, reading in LinkedIn, you know, what conversations or what groups you're a part of. All of those things are like connecting threads, or even like on Facebook, they can see, that's one of the things I do, I'll see what pages they're fans of.
What groups they belong to.
And
The videos you put up, the photos you put up, you can put up slides on SlideShare. There are so many different kinds of content that you can put up. And content is really how business people differentiate themselves on the internet. So if you've really got something to say about the business that you're in that you are really passionate about, and I'm guessing everybody on this call is passionate about their business, that passion comes through in what you say in your writing. Or if you don't like to write, make a video or an audio, however you like to do it. But that passion comes across and that knowledge comes across, and we need to share really generously what we know in order to attract people on the internet. And so I know you and I have talked about this before, that the economy has really changed, so it's not necessarily a stepwise a business venture anymore. It's no longer, well, they'll buy something for $5 and then they'll buy something for $20. Etc. Very often, people are looking for free content, and you sharing your best stuff is huge. And then they will pay quite a bit more to work with you one-on-one or in person, or get your best material sooner. And so, even thinking about the way you structure your business model to fit with social media is important.
Yeah.
Do you want me to say more, or you want to ask a question?
Well, you know, there is a question here. You could hear me thinking, couldn't you?
Yeah,
and Julia, I just realized I didn't introduce you. I'm just like, wow, I didn't introduce Julia. It's like I'm so familiar with you. You've been here so many times. I actually didn't introduce Julia Stewart as, you know, the founder of the School of Coaching Mastery and all these other wonderful credentials that she has. It just occurred to me a little while ago. I was like, well, that was a blip. But anyway, there's someone here who asked about the actual how-tos of Facebook and Twitter and steps to get started. And I know we've been covering quite a bit of that already. But I wondered if you might just give people, like, the top three things that they could be doing. You know, obviously you go and you create an account on each one and you create a profile. But what would be, like, the top three things that you would recommend a beginner to do to just get their toes wet in social media?
That is an awesome question. It's probably a little bit different for each site, but I'll try to be as general as I can, and I'll give maybe a couple of details for different sites. So after you've got your profile complete, then you want to start connecting with people. And virtually all the sites will allow you to connect through your address book. So Gmail or Yahoo or Outlook, you can invite people to work with you, or not work with you, but connect with you on that site. And people are pretty used to this now, but if you're like me, you've probably got a whole lot of addresses that you really don't want to be sending an invitation to. So you go through it and you take the time to check and uncheck the appropriate boxes and send out those invitations, and you'll start making connections really quickly. And then from there, you want to take a look at who your friends are friends with. So start exploring some profiles of people that you know pretty well or people that you like Adela Rubio. See who they're connected with, again, what fan pages they belong to, what groups they belong to, and start inviting a few of those people. Because once you have some people in common, for instance, if you invite somebody to be your friend on Facebook, if they've got three friends in common with you already, that's going to show up on your invitation. And that makes it a little more likely that they will friend you. If somebody who doesn't have any friends in common with me invites me to friend them, I almost never say yes, because I've had bad experiences with them turning out to be, you know, porn stars or something.
Or someone trying to romance you long distance.
Yeah. So those things can happen. So most people are really looking for friends of friends. So check things out that way. There are some very cool tools that can help you find people. And so all the Grater tools are great. So there's twitter.grater.com. There's facebook.grater.com. And those can grade your profile and tell you how you're doing. Do you have a good profile set up for a marketer? They're really designed for marketers. And then they will tell you things that you can do to improve it. So I would say follow the things that they tell you to do. And in addition, they will help you connect with some power users, which is always a good thing to do. Having a few power users in your lists are good. So the Guy Kawasaki's and the Adela Rubio's. You want to have a few of those people in your list of people you're connecting with, because they have lots of connections. And so when you make invitations, you're going to have more people in common with other people. So that's also a great thing to do. And then check out some groups or fan pages. So on Twitter, that would be the lists. And so I don't know about you, Adela, but I have several lists that I've created.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are bloggers. Some of them are coaches. Some of them are marketers. I think it's great to follow some marketers and notice which ones you like. Notice what they're doing and think about how you could do that yourself, how it would work for your own business. So follow a few lists, look up lists on people that you're already following, and so that's Twitter. And then Facebook, it's about groups and fan pages. And groups are really for affinity groups or more private groups. So they're not so much for business. I have a group on Facebook called Become a Coach on Facebook, and I just share resources with those people. But I also have a fan page for School of Coaching Mastery. And there, it's a little more interactive, and it has more tools for marketers. So one of the cool things about having a fan page is you can post something on it, and it will automatically post to your profile as well. Another thing that's cool is, and this is one of the keys to making social media work for you without driving yourself insane with it, is you can take a Facebook fan page box and put it on your web page. So you can get some code, you can take it over to your web page and paste the code in there. And depending on the style that you choose, it'll say, you know, School of Coaching Mastery is on Facebook. It'll have a little button where you can like it if you want to do that. It will show pictures of people who are already fans of that page.
And it may show pictures of your friends who are already fans of that page. So when you see your friends are already fans of it and you're on that website and you enjoy it, you're just a little more likely to want to join it yourself. And once you've joined it, then if the owner of that fan page is smart, they'll be offering you some special things that maybe aren't offered to everybody else who's following them, and they'll find ways to engage you. So just having that box on my blog turned my fan page from like this no man's land that had about 12 members on it. When I first started my fan page, I really didn't know what to do with it. So it pretty much did nothing for several months. And then I learned how to put the fan page box on my blog. And I have a little graph. I love graphs, you know. And so it shows this virtually horizontal line on my fan page for months and months, and all of a sudden it went vertical. So I had like 45 people in a few weeks, which doesn't sound like that many people, but that's the rate is about 150 people a year, which is a whole lot more than 12.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There's just tweaks that you can do on your site that can really deliver some really nice results. I still keep discovering things about social media, and recently I was talking to Ellen Britt, and she was telling me that, you know, where it shows your friends the small pictures of your friends, that you can actually select which ones show up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you're talking about Facebook?
Yeah, talking about Facebook. Mm. So you can actually, instead of, you know, just having names showing up there randomly, you may want to select, like perhaps, you know, through association, like let's say some of your favorite people who are actually following you, who may be people who are prominent in your niche and in your field.
Yeah.
And so you can select those friends, and then through association, people can say, oh, Ellen Britt is Adela's friend. Oh, Julia Stewart. Mm-hmm. Julia, you're one of mine. I've got you up there. Julia Stewart's one of Adela's friends, you know, and just little things like that. Again, they give people a feel for you and an opportunity to connect with you on multiple levels, so that there's this connection, there's this comfort, and there's this familiarity where people will open up to you more and will be more likely to have a dialogue with you and an engagement with you.
And I didn't know about that, Adela. Thank you. I'm going to go do that.
You're welcome.
And so then all you have to do as a person of integrity is keep showing up as a person of integrity who helps people out, is consistent with your message, is not abusing people's attention, and you develop relationships that way. And then the people who belong with you, they kind of self-select to a large degree. Or sometimes it happens the opposite way. You notice somebody who's showing up in your Twitter stream a lot, or they're writing on your wall a lot, and they seem enthusiastic about your message. And you think, oh, so this person may want to become a client at some point. And you don't start stalking them, but you do just know that this is a person that you want to take seriously and help them out in whatever way you can. It's just a very natural way of doing it.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about, I've been hearing, you know, in each telesummit, there's like these specific through lines. I've been mentioning this already, where we keep hearing the same thing, you know, from all the different speakers over and over and over. And I would urge people to really listen in. And Julia just mentioned it again, and she said it several times on this call, like, give away all your great stuff. You know, let people know how much you know about your stuff, about what you do, about your business, about your area of expertise.
Yeah.
You know, I think
that can be scary.
You know, and it's also because I know that a couple of years ago, I used to hear there was this model, you know, especially with free calls, where you would give away what and the why, but not the how, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was very popular a while back.
Yeah.
It's all changed.
Yeah, now you're giving away the how as well.
Yeah, because the thing is that, and this is so wonderful, and I wondered if you could, I don't know if you've finished with your with the short term, but I know that you're really big on this attraction marketing and inbound marketing, and I wondered if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So there are so many different names for it. It's attraction marketing. It's kind of internet marketing grown up. And I would say the trendy name for it now is inbound marketing. And it's all about letting your future customers find you versus you going out and interrupting them, bombarding them with your list. It's about putting down the megaphone and starting to listen. And what attracts people to you is great content. And sharing the what, the why, and even the how can feel like giving away everything that you have to sell. But the truth is, people aren't really buying information anymore because the information is free. And what they're buying is you, because you're the one who knows what to do with the information. So even though you've shared the how, it doesn't mean that you have nothing to give anymore. And so by sharing great content, you give people reasons to want to link to you. And you want to give them tools to do that also. So your blog, for instance, could have buttons on it for sharing this on Twitter, sharing it on Facebook. People love to share great content because it's another way that people are attracted to them. And by the way, sharing other people's great content is a useful way of attracting people to you. You don't want to just share other people's content, but don't be afraid to share it because, for one thing, your future clients may find it useful. For another, those other people whose stuff you're sharing will be grateful to you. And you can develop joint ventures, friendships, etc., and you can help each other be successful. And so give people reasons to want to share your content, to want to put a link on their own website to yours. And you can also put buttons on your site that say, follow me on Twitter or join my fan page here. And give people really easy ways to keep interacting with you, even if they're nowhere near spending their money with you. And that way you can build up your email database, and occasionally you do want to email with them. And by the way, you might want to have some of those buttons on the email so they can share it on Twitter or Facebook, or they can follow you on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. But you want to use all of these things in kind of an orchestrated way. And it really just kind of keeps going around kind of in a circle. People find you here, they find you there. You show up in places that they care about, and you care about the same kinds of things, and they develop a relationship with you. But it all starts with sharing information.
Yeah, and also the other thing that you've been pointing to, it's, you know, aligning yourself with resonant, you know, professionals and people, you know, like that makes a huge difference, because people know you, and then people know me, and they're like, oh, okay, so Julia told me to check this out, Adela told me to check this out, wow, you know, maybe I should check it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really, so creating those, and it's so easy, and I'm going to give away one of my little tips here, my telesummits. Sometimes I try to email people to participate in my telesummits, and I'm giving away some of my content from my freebie thing that I'm going to, from my upgrade program that I'm going to be doing. I'm doing a training on this. So sometimes people won't respond to your email, or you'll have to go through the gatekeeper, right, Julia? Let me tell you what a leveler social media is. I have been able to access people that I would have never been able to get through to before. And they actually respond to me. And then they contact their VA. Then they tell me, just contact my VA and tell them that we connected and you know, just set the date.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah.
I mean, it is, of course you just don't email them and say, you know, hey, I want you to do this. No, again, all those connective pieces that Julia's been talking about, you know, that's not your initial contact with someone, right? You create a relationship first, you comment on their blogs, you comment on their stream, you retweet what they're promoting, even if you're not an affiliate.
Yeah, you know, if everybody just kind of thinks of it as your neighbors all chatting across the fence, you know, so if you're all going out in the backyard and chatting across the fence with each other, and you need a babysitter and somebody recommends somebody, somebody else needs somebody to mow their lawn, everybody's happy to help. And you just need this vehicle to put you in touch with each other, and that's what social media is for.
Yeah. Really powerful stuff. Julia, did we cut you short on some of the short-term shifts that you wanted to share?
You know, I could talk about this for the next couple of days. So let's say that's enough since we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we are almost out of time. We certainly are. And I know that you've got something really cool and awesome that you're offering my folks, and I really appreciate it. Can you tell us a little bit about this inbound coaching session that you're doing?
Yeah. So this is a specialty of mine, helping small business people, particularly conscious business people, get found on the internet and increase the amount of money that they're making without driving themselves insane. And so when you asked me to have something that people could participate in, I thought, okay, right now I have room for a few more clients. And so just for your people, I'm not doing this for anybody else, I'm offering a free coaching session with me. And I'm offering only 10 of those because I don't have unlimited time. And these are coaching sessions for people who are actively in business. So if you're thinking about getting into business next year, this is not going to be a good fit for you. So I'm going to give away 10 free coaching sessions, and I'm looking for 3 clients, and I will charge half price for a 3-month coaching arrangement. And that should be enough time to really get you started with social media. And like I said, I could talk about this for the next week. There is so much more about it. And as a coach, I'm not just going to be your consultant and tell you what to do. I'm going to find out what really matters to you with your business. How do you want to be making money? How do you want to be spending your time? And which tools are going to be most valuable for you? And I want you to know that this is, you're going to be learning to do it yourself. So rather than being dependent on me or on a consultant to manage this for you, which can be really expensive, you're going to learn to do it yourself in a few minutes a day. And, yeah, you can absolutely make a lot more money online by using these tools than if you just rely on some of the tools that have been around longer.
Well, that's an extraordinary value. Extraordinary. I mean, that is extraordinary. It is. Thank you, Julia. I was going to say something, and it's escaping me right now. So anyway, for folks to check this out, see if it's for you. Oh, I know what it was. So when you say that someone's in business, they should have a website. What should be in place so that they know that they're a good fit for these free sessions?
Well, they could be putting up a website, but I would say this is an ideal coaching arrangement for somebody who's maybe been in business for a little while. You know what you want to be offering. You've maybe had a couple of clients already. So you're not just trying to figure it out, like how are you going to get in business, or you're not just having, you know, a great dream about it, but you're not ready to actually implement it, because there are things that you will need to be doing right away. And so this could be for somebody who's in an advanced business or just new with their business, but not somebody who is just has no idea where they're going yet.
Okay. All right, so they'd either be in the start, Melanie was on earlier, Melanie Benson's trick. So you're not in the seed phase of your business where you're just visioning it and you've got the ideas and you haven't implemented it. You're in the startup phase, perhaps, where you've got some clients.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you've got an offer, you've got a service, and you're ready to let the world know about it. You're ready to get yourself out there and get more clients. So fantastic. Let me give you the link for that, www.consciousbusinesstribe.com/coachjulia. And if you're on the speaker page, there's a handy-dandy link right there that you can just click on. So www.consciousbusinesstribe.com/coachjulia.
Hmm.
Wonderful. And 10 lucky folks will get a free coaching session, which in and of itself is unbelievably valuable. And three lucky people will get to work with you at this extraordinary price. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah, this is great. A great gift for my community. Thank you, Julia. Julia, it's always so much fun. Again, I apologize for forgetting to introduce you. I can't believe I did that.
No problem.
But I didn't. But anyway, I've got a lovely, lovely bio of you on your speaker page.
Good. They can read it if they're curious.
Yeah. But anyway, the content, the being that is Julia is extraordinary, as you can tell. I just love having her. I love her personally as a friend, as a colleague. I respect her immensely. She's someone who's always growing and always delivering extraordinary value and an unbelievable skill set. I recommend her like 10 thumbs up. Thank you so much, Julia, for being with us here today and sharing yourself, as you always do, beautifully.
Yeah,
and thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, darling.
thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for being here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. We'll see you tomorrow with some more moving and grooving information for your conscious business. Thank you, everyone, and bye-bye. See you, Julia.
Thank you.
All righty, bye.